Hello everyone, and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Kotowska, and I will be your host. This is UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of studies, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions. We will have guest speakers. Are you ready? Then let's go! Today's show topic is winter wellness. How to boost our winter well-being. Winter is a time when we often let our well-being habits slide. Those lifestyle factors that make for positive well-being in summer, such as exercise, socializing with friends, healthier diets, and sunnier and more positive outlook, tend to take a backseat come winter. Faced with shorter days, less natural light, and colder temperatures, it is easy to fall into unhelpful patterns and neglect our well-being. Our guest today is one and only my favorite Dr. Aubrey Tang. She's a chartered psychologist and award-winning author with a focus on practical self-improvement. She hosts the Retain Your Brain for Success podcast, along with appearing on End Life Radio and Destructive TV. She offers expert comment as a psychologist, spoken person throughout radio, TV, and published media, representing a number of brands in well-being campaign. Aubrey, welcome back and thank you for accepting my invitation.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you?
We made it. Yes,
fantastic. Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Oh, I love the rainbowy jumper, whatever it is that. That's so cute.
Thank you. It's warm, but it's also pretty, so it makes me feel happy.
It is very positive, I would say, especially in those winter days. It's so, you know, cold, and today actually is very sunny, but you know, the weather is not the most positive one. So your jumper makes me smile. Thank you for that.
Excellent. Very welcome. And that's exactly why I'm wearing it for myself as well. We need to do all of those things for in winter, especially because it is much darker outside and it gets darker a lot earlier as well.
It gets dark around 4 p.m. So whenever I finish classes or training, I'm like, what just happened? I just want to go to sleep and it's 4 p.m.
Exactly. And you might be like me, depending on where you're teaching. But when I was a drama teacher, I spent all day in a black box studio room as well. So you'd go to work in the dark, teach in the dark, and then come home in the dark.
Yeah, I must say it does affect me sometimes, my mood, because I'm like, oh, I love to see just daylight. I'm all about the daylight. So then when 4 p.m. comes and it's dark, I'm like, what is just happening? Should I go to sleep? Because I don't know, my body switch off when it's dark. So I'm just like, ay, ay,
Well, there is a reason for that, and we will talk about those things.
exactly. So I'm very actually glad that we've made it in December, because those months, as beautiful as they are because of Christmas and family gatherings and New Year resolution, they can be also quite dark, sad, a little bit depressive, right?
Absolutely. And many people experience something called seasonal affective disorder. So what this means is as the night gets a little bit, or the nights draw in and the daytime gets darker, we end up feeling a lot more down, or there's less opportunity to feel bright and positive. And the reason for this is when it's dark and we're not getting that sunlight, we're not getting as much vitamin D. What is being produced is melatonin, which is the sleep hormone that allows us to sleep better. And of course, well, we think, oh, it's dark now, so I just want to go to sleep. And unfortunately, this can really mess up our routine, our eating habits, all of those sorts of things. And they have repercussions for our physical and mental well-being in general. So if we're not getting enough vitamin D because we're not getting out in the sunshine, that will affect our immune system. So it means we're more susceptible to coughs and colds. And so we don't want to exercise, and then we don't want to go out for a walk, and we don't want to do the things that are really good for us. So whilst it's not necessarily the weather alone that causes us to feel down, it's almost the repercussions of the weather that can have secondary or create secondary effects.
Tell me, with yourself, you have all this knowledge. Does that still affect you the same way, or you try to be very reasonable and very, logical about it?
I love that question. And the funny thing is, what I was doing a podcast with somebody else very recently, and one thing she said really resonated with me. She said, Christmas comes every year. And that's the thing, winter comes every year. And this is no surprise anymore. We know it's going to get darker. We know it's going to get colder. And this year, it wasn't so much I wasn't prepared for it, but I'd forgotten I'd prepared for it last year. So today was the first day I actually remembered to put the cover on the front of my car just to stop it icing up. And it's little things like that where we are perhaps more prepared than we realize for winter or for the darker months, and possibly even for seasonal affective disorder. I've even got a sad lamp, which I bought a few years ago, but we forget to use all of those things. And so sometimes we need a bit of a reminder. And that's why this interview is so great, because it's reminding me that I've got all of these things in place already and I just need to use them.
So I always wonder, I mean, from speaking from a sport person perspective, they always ask me, does it get e any easier? It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. It's just, I have this amazing quote that I took from, it's not mine, from Tony Robbins, who said, like, I do not negotiate with my brain. So you just keep going. It doesn't necessarily get easier or lighter or more. I don't know. You don't get motivational every day. It's not about really that. It's just do not negotiate with your brain. Don't let your I don't know, not fears, but sometimes this little bit laziness or excuses come in the way. So I
Yes.
find it the same with this situation. I just try to go through it with the least amount of damages.
Yes. No, I agree. I completely agree with you. The problem with our brains, I mean, they're wonderful, wonderful things, but they are there to help us survive, which means what our brain is looking to do all the time is to make sure we're not in danger. And if we are in danger, we need to do something about it. But in the 21st century, nowadays, our technology and the things that are on offer to us, that's really evolved, whereas our brains still haven't. The brain still thinks we're living in the times where we might have been in caves or whatever. And so what happens there is, unless we tell the brain to look for the positive, it is going to look for the negative, because that's what helps us survive. If we recognize something negative, if we recognize something, what's going to kill us or hurt us, we can avoid it. And so that's why our brain is naturally primed for that. But we need to teach it to look out for the positive. We need to teach it to perhaps be more grateful. We need to teach it to slow down as well, that we don't need to make decisions straight away. And so it's exactly as you say, or Tony Robbins says, it's not always negotiable, because especially the more intelligent a person is, the better they can reason their own excuses or whatever it is to stop them doing the thing that they know is healthy. Another example would be the reason why we crave those high calorie foods, especially when we're feeling exhausted and tired. It's absolutely natural. The brain is looking to help us survive. It in its own kind of head, it thinks, I might not get any more food. This may be all I'm getting. So of course it's going to direct us towards something that is going to satiate us immediately, something that's high calorie, high sugar, high fat. But we know, hopefully, at least in this world, food is a little bit easier to access.
Yeah. So winter wellness, because that's the subject today topic.
Indeed.
Our winter well-being. So I would like to start, because it's very obvious question, but I get this a lot. What is this well-being? What is this fancy world? Well-being, wellness.
Again, great question. And I'm actually going to use the WHO, the World Health Organization's definition, because this is the one that is most widely used in research. So it may as well be the one that we use. And what they say is, it is a state of complete physical, mental, and social wellness. So a feeling of overall positivity and happiness, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. And I think that's really quite important. Well-being is an overall, almost positive, happier feeling, rather than the fine or the okay, I'm not ill feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think that's quite an important distinction, because certainly psychology for many years have been looking at helping people go from not okay to okay. And very recently, in the 80s, it was Martin Seligman's positive psychology that pushed the idea of well-being and living into thriving. So moving from okay to flourishing, rather than just saying, well, all we need to focus on is not being ill. And so well-being is the more positive side of health.
So what are the ways to look after our well-being?
There are a number of ways. One of the main things that positive psychology would say is to build a feeling of positive affect. Now, that's not positive emotion. Positive emotions are triggered and they can be very short term. But positive affect is a feeling that lasts a lot longer. And that is often created by a buildup of positive things. So very much like you would work on your physical fitness, I would encourage people to work on their emotional and mental fitness. And there may be many ways in which we can do this. We might invest in ourselves. We might decide to treat ourselves to reading a book and learning something new, or trying out a new skill on YouTube. That might keep us engaged and curious and interested in what we're doing. Alternatively, we might spend time with good friends, people who energize us, not the ones who drain us. So make sure you know who your positive network is. Another thing that you might do is you might just go out for a walk when it's sunny, and there you're getting the vitamin D boost, you're getting the serotonin boost. If you're doing it with friends, you're getting the oxytocin boost as well. And if you're doing exercise, if you achieve something, you get the dopamine boost. Those are many ways in which we can build up this sense of positive affect. And the more we do, the stronger that sense becomes. And what research has shown is that if we create this state of positive affect, we are more likely to behave in ways which improve it in the future. So somebody in that healthy kind of feeling state, they are more likely to be a bit more curious and maybe learn something new. And that means when they perhaps need those skills at a later point, they've already got them. But if we don't have that state, what we end up doing actually is just trying to survive. And we're not growing and we're not learning. We're just trying to be okay. And that's a real shame.
Mm-hmm. Is that something to do with our comfort zone and comfortability? Are we more comfortable feeling a little sad? Or it's a weird statement to make, but isn't it more familiar to us when we like more in the day? The gray space?
It It can be. Certainly for a lot of my clients, they will actually say they're almost happier in that state of needing to do more, rather than they feel a bit scared to accept when something's going well, because their concern is it's going to go badly. It can only go the other way. Mm-hmm. But what I would actually say is, when it comes to feeling great, there's no bar. There's no limit to how great you can feel. And certainly, if things were to not necessarily go wrong, but go differently, that doesn't mean they're going to become worse. They could move to the side. They could get even better. One of the ways I illustrate this in training sessions is I ask people, it's like a little game, you work in pairs, and I ask people to change one thing about themselves. And they will more often than not take something away. They might take their glasses off. They might take a jacket off or something like that. And this is because largely we associate change with loss, and we're not very comfortable with that. And so what I would always say is, what could happen is unknown. It isn't necessarily going to be bad. So change isn't necessarily going to be problematic. It could be better than you ever imagined. And so that's hopefully one way of at least trying to stretch out of your comfort zone, because you never know what will happen. But what we do know is, if we stay where we are, then really nothing's going to change nor get better.
Mm-hmm. I think like we're just so afraid of change that even if it's better, it doesn't really matter in the moment, because we always kind of project the worst case scenario, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And again, we can get so caught up in what we think is going to happen and not really realize that that might not be the outcome at all. Mm-hmm. And if that stops us even trying, then the one thing we can guarantee is that no outcome is going to happen, because we've not even taken those steps forward. So it's better, if we can, not to get caught up in this overthinking. It's almost about being sure of your own ability to get out of it if it goes wrong. If anything happens, it's helpful for us to look back on our resilience in the past. It's helpful for us to look back on what we've been through before and how we've overcome before, and maybe who's helped us before, because that will help us in future, because we can reassure ourselves, you know what, even if this does go wrong, I can deal with it.
Mm-hmm. So how to stay mentally healthy in the winter?
There are a number of things we can do, and the ways to do so are not always psychological. I always get asked, so how do we motivate ourselves and so on? Sometimes it's really practical. It can be as simple as, if you like exercising in the morning but it's too dark, then buy yourself a head torch. It can be buy yourself warmer clothes or something like that, so you can go and exercise at the times when you want to. Other things that we can do to maintain habits that we would like to keep on with will be to prepare them in advance and remove any barriers. So for some people, that might be laying their workout clothes out before they go to sleep. For others, it might be preparing lunch for the next day so they're not tempted to go and eat snacks or whatever it might be. So removing some of those barriers. Another thing we can do is we can stack healthy habits as well. So it might be that we maybe haven't seen enough of our families and we want to build that up, but we also want to get a bit more exercise. Well, maybe go for a walk with your loved ones. So that could be another thing. You're that way dealing with both aspects and probably getting an extra boost of all the happy hormones at the same time. Of course, it's worth remembering that some people look after themselves better or feel better about themselves when they relax. And most commonly, when we talk about self-care, a lot of people say, oh, it's a spa day or it's a massage or one of those sorts of things. But for many people, and maybe you're like this as well, because I know I am, if you finished a project and you're tired and people say to you, oh, well done, you can relax now. Actually, that really winds me up, because I don't want to relax. I actually want to be re-energized. And people don't realize that's also an option for self-care. So for re-energizing, that may be something like, if for yourself, you are an instructor, but for you, you might want to take a class where you can just go and enjoy doing whatever it might be. rather than having to teach it.
Yeah, from other people, just like, give me, because you always give. So you're just like, please give me something, give me. I'm hungry.
Exactly. And that's what I mean by re-energizing. It might be learning a new skill. It might be reading a book. It might be treating yourself to that course that you meant to do, but you were too busy. And those are just as important. Don't always go to the, oh, I must go out for a walk and breathe and meditate, because if that's not you, that's not going to make you feel better.
That's correct. Oh, I completely connect with this, because me, when I'm like, yeah, finished project, like I just finished Winter Box Cup. So we just went for the weekend to box. And you would think like, oh, you can relax now. And I'm like, no, I want to train more. Now I feel more energized. I want to do more. This is my relaxed time. So it's just personally, 100% me.
Yeah, so, me too.
I think I've mentioned that, but do you think people get more depressed during the winter and Christmas period? And if so, how to deal with it and how to identify if I'm getting actually depressed?
It may actually be, unfortunately, we ourselves have a tendency to kid ourselves that we're coping and we're doing okay. So it may actually be that we have to listen to other people telling us. If people are asking us, are you okay, on a few too many occasions, just take a minute to stop and have a think about whether you have been eating properly, sleeping properly, and all of those things. If you are more aware of yourself and your routine and the way your body functions, then certainly take a moment to check in with yourself. Am I sleeping all right? Why am I reaching for the high calorie foods? Or am I feeling sluggish because I haven't been able to exercise for the last 3 days? Ask yourself those questions and be aware of how you're feeling. Also, if you notice maybe you might be turning down invitations, or maybe you're previously usually a quiet person and you're suddenly wanting to go out all the time, any changes in behavior are worth noting and asking yourself, is everything okay? You may not get the answer straight away, but by asking the question, at least you've primed yourself to think about it.
Mm-hmm. And do you think the Christmassy New Year period has something to do with it? Is that more, does it create more pressure on us as humans?
It can, depending on what we're trying to do. Now, what I mean by this is Christmas and social media tend to go together quite well, in that people are posting pictures of all their parties and pictures of all of their turkey dinners and whatever. And there can be that feeling that we need to do the same. Otherwise, we're not as good. We're comparing ourselves to what other people are posting all the time. And again, I know we've had this conversation before. It's really important to recognize that social media is often somebody's highlights reel. Instagram in itself was created to be you with a filter, the best look that you can possibly have. It's not necessarily reflecting reality. And we need to be aware of that. So if at Christmas we find ourselves under pressure to have the perfect Christmas or to host or to do whatever it is we have put that pressure on ourselves to do, we may need to stop and ask ourselves, who am I actually doing this for? And if we aren't doing it for ourselves, maybe look at what changes we can make. So this might be maybe cost of living this year. It might be a case of everyone coming around brings their own dish, brings something to contribute. It might be that you put a limit on presents this year. We only spend £5 on each other, or maybe we all make our gifts this year. There are a number of things that we might need to reflect on and perhaps have those conversations with our loved ones. And really, if they are our loved ones and part of that supportive network, people will understand. And in many ways, they'll probably be relieved that you've brought it up.
Mm-hmm. And what if you are, for example, no family, lonely? How to navigate that and deal with the Christmas period, you know, not to feel even sadder or more depressed?
Some of the things we can do is, if there are specific reasons why we can't see somebody. So, for example, we've just heard that border control is going on strike, so we might not be able to travel to see family as we had planned. So maybe arrange at least an online drop-in or something like that. Alternatively, make plans for next year, make plans to go and see people at a later point so you can look forward to them. Other things that we can do to get ourselves out of the house is we might go to help out at a soup kitchen. We might go to volunteer somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that can make a real difference, because there we're part of something, we're giving back, and that makes us feel good anyway. But we're also likely to meet other people who wanted to give up their time as well. And you might find something in common with those people. So I would actually say there are ways of, if you are feeling lonely, of going out. Alternatively, you could even consider hosting, inviting people over, if that's your thing. But the other thing I would also add is we must be very careful not to confuse loneliness and solitude, because somebody who enjoys spending time on their own is not necessarily lonely. And sometimes somebody can feel very lonely when they are constantly surrounded by people. So we just need to be aware of what exactly is going on for us, or what exactly is going on for the people we might be trying to support.
Mm-hmm. I think it has to do also with this feeling of belongings, isn't it? It's like we as human have big tendency to feel like we belong somewhere. So then when it comes to such a big events like Christmas, New Year's Eve, when we not necessarily belong somewhere, it becomes questionable, perhaps, for some of us.
I agree. But sometimes what we do is we then go to those parties just to feel like we're part of something. And if that's not our, who we're in alignment with, they're not our type of person that we want to spend time with, actually, we can just feel even lonelier and have spent more money in doing that. So sometimes it might be a case of stepping back and asking yourself, if I'm feeling lonely, who or what is it that I'm missing? Now, if you need to unpack that even further, maybe you are missing someone very dear to you, and maybe they won't come back. And that's horribly sad, especially at this time of year when it is a time for love and family. But it might be, think about that a little bit more. Think about what it is that you loved so much about that person. Was it their sense of humor? Was it their kindness? Was it, what was it? And then maybe try and do something that brings back that emotion, that sense. So if it's their sense of humor, maybe take yourself to the cinema if you can and watch something funny, or even just watch something Christmassy on TV. It could be something like that that might make that difference.
Makes sense. Are there any strategies with well-being? Is there anything that can be like really defined? Okay, this is what I'm doing from A to B to C to D.
Yes and no. I mean, in many ways, if something works for you, do it. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says, or if it doesn't work for them, you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for you. So if you have a healthy routine that works for you, stick with that. Because actually, if you're in a habit, then your brain doesn't need to work particularly hard. It knows what it's going to do. So that's absolutely great. If something is no longer working for you, we're all adults. We can give ourselves permission to make those changes. But one key thing I think really is important, and that is, this is actually a work theory, which I am going to apply to our personal lives. And this theory is known as the two-factor theory, and it talks about job satisfaction. And Hertzberg, the psychologist, said that there are two factors that lead to job satisfaction or job dissatisfaction. And job satisfaction tends to be when we are motivated and we are recognized and appreciated. So all the positive, happy things. But job dissatisfaction happens when we're not being paid properly, or we're not feeling listened to, or we're not given the chance to be trained or stretched. And so the way we apply this to our personal lives is it's really important to recognize, yes, it's all very well to talk about things like friendships or relationships or presents or that kind of thing. But if you don't have running water, if you don't have heating, if you don't have enough to eat, those things are probably more important to look at first before we worry about the other stuff. And this is where, as awful as it is, it is important to reach out. I work with a lot of charities. People are always asking and trying to support and bringing things like food banks, clothing banks, everything together. So reach out. No one's judging. No one is creating a stigma or anything like that. We're all struggling at the moment, and it is really important to know there is help out there.
Yeah. Oh, tell me about the heating now. Oh my God, I can feel it. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
We have a heating when we have the British gas. You have to top up with the card. There's no other way around. And so every week you're topping up and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, you know, when you look at, for example, my job, there's not necessarily like the increase of the payments. And you're just like, how people are doing this when you have children? And, you know, for now, I'm still on my own, but I'm just... this life right now, it's really not a joke. It's really difficult. So I no wonder why people are start to really be in a funny space sometimes. When you talk to them, I realize that on my own, with my own circle, they start to dissociate, disconnect, all these different things. And I'm like, I'm not blaming, because it's really, really hard.
It really is. And a lot of the research recently on poverty has actually shown that we're not talking even about people who are homeless or are at that very low level of desperation. But we're talking also about people where if you don't have that one paycheck because for whatever reason, it's either late or whatever, it becomes almost impossible to manage any uncertainty. And that strikes a lot more families than we realize. And for all of us, we all need to be a little bit more perhaps compassionate and recognize that everybody is struggling and we're all in this difficult position. But there are certainly some people in a far more difficult position. And if there are any things that we can do to support that, then that's great. I mean, for example, with yourself, even having this conversation now, giving those needs your platform to talk about, that's just amazing.
I'm just really amazed with what I'm feeling myself, and I'm like, okay, I'm not you know, we all can do better and strive for more, but I'm like, wow, this is really hard even on me. And you know, I have a partner, we together, but it's like, this life is really difficult. And a lot of people are moving out, and a lot of people are talking to me, you know, why, how about going back home? And I'm just like, oh, of course, it's not an option to me. But I'm just thinking, like, I understand, because it's getting a little bit worse. I hope, let's say it has to get worse before it gets better. I'm really hoping for that. But it really made me very thoughtful recently about a life situation, where this world is going, where my work is going, even, you know. So you do. And I think maybe end of the year makes it to be even a little stronger. So that's why that conversation, I think, is very needed, because as beautiful everything looks again on social media and out there, it's not like that. It's really not.
Exactly.
So you want to reach out and speak to whoever you feel comfortable, safe with, either as a friend, therapist, mom, dad, whoever is that, but don't keep it inside, because it is daily struggle.
It is. And because we're all feeling it, I think when somebody does voice it, it almost brings about a sense of relief that, oh gosh, you too. And in a way, that's quite comforting to know that we're not the only one, because when we keep things in, we can almost kid ourselves that we're the only person not being able to cope. And that's not true. Exactly as you've said, everybody is feeling the strain at the moment.
Yeah. So do you think our well-being have something to do with also the new year resolutions and goals and the pressure we put on ourselves and the ambitions, you know, all those little things that we tend to do as human beings. Do you think that has something to do with it?
It can. And what I tend to say to people at the end of the year is, rather than looking back and thinking, oh, I haven't achieved this, I haven't achieved that, look at what you have achieved. Look at where you are right now and see if you can find the small things to be grateful for, to connect with the present and to hopefully recognize that maybe you haven't moved as far forward as you want it to, but you are in a different place now. And then you can look into next year as another opportunity to make those steps. And also, I wouldn't necessarily say we have to set large resolutions or goals, because life might change. And then suddenly, if we can't achieve whatever that might be, even if it's not our fault, we start blaming ourselves and we think we're not capable or whatever. And that's not true at all. We know that life gets in the way. So what I like to do is you almost see your choices every day on a bit of a continuum between moving you to where you want to be and moving you away from it. And just simply catch yourself before making those choices, before taking those actions, and think, well, is this going to move me towards where I want to be, or is it going to move me away from it? And if we can just do that, that may be better than perhaps setting resolutions. What we could do potentially is maybe have broader plans or goals that we might want to achieve. But again, be flexible with how you get there. And also remember that you don't have to do it on your own either. That doesn't mean you have to follow somebody else and do what they've done exactly, but it does mean that maybe listen to other people, learn from them, and then work out what's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm. And I love that idea that, you know, you get do-overs every day. Every day you wake up, you can start again from the beginning, or not even from the beginning. You just have another chance and another chance and another chance every day to do something different, to move forward. You know, it's all up to us, and as cliche it sounds, if we won't make that change or that decision, nothing will change, just like you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. We need to ask ourselves sometimes, are we the creator of our life, or are we simply reacting within our life? And I understand when we feel like things are just happening all the time and we're just responding, we're firefighting the whole time, but we also need to remember that we can write our narrative, we can reclaim our power. And even if it's really tiny, taking some affirmative, positive steps to take action, to create, can make a big difference to us.
So for someone who is very caught up with those New Year's goals and very overwhelmed with have to do this, I have to do that, and if I don't, I'm a failure. What would be your advice?
One thing I would say, and this affects a lot of my parent clients, they often put those sorts of expectations onto themselves, those high standards onto themselves. I must do it, and I have to get it right. If I don't get it right, I'm a failure. And what's actually happening is you may be role modeling, if not consciously, certainly unconsciously, to your children, or if you're a leader, to your teams, that mistakes are just not allowed. They're not acceptable. Failure is not an option. Of course, we know that failure actually helps us grow. Failure sometimes means that we have to try things a different way. And if that's the case, we've learned something new about ourselves that getting it right first time wouldn't have allowed us to do. Mm. So it's sometimes about remembering, if we don't do something, if we don't achieve it just yet, that's an opportunity to teach resilience. That's an opportunity to teach coming back and getting stronger and building up again. And that's probably a healthier message to give to people, rather than you must get it right first time, when we, as I said, getting it right first time never gives us the chance to grow.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you for that, because I'm the person who struggled that with quite a lot. But recently, I've realized my growth. I'm very proud of myself for that. So I need to give myself a peck, like a little bit, like, good job, Natalia. Because I've been that person who, if I wasn't winning, if I wasn't achieving, I'm not worth it. It's failure is the worst. You know, you always go for the gold. And yeah, sure, we don't like to lose, and winning is a great feeling, but you learn way more by falling and not achieving exactly what you want for the first time. And I think, personally speaking, I love to speak about it, how I grow, and that failure is amazing for our future potential, you know, achievement, and how we deal with it is very important. So I want to encourage people to be happy if you are not succeeding yet, because it's just a process.
Absolutely. And as I said, it means that you, if you are encouraging clients, you can draw from your experience of how you were able to overcome. That gives you so many more tools to support other people as well.
That's correct. So thank you so much for this Christmassy New Year Eve type of conversation. I hope we help a few people. Let's hope. I encourage everyone to talk, be open, don't be afraid to cry. And sometimes mom complain and then move on, move forward. Just anything that will make you feel a little tiny better about yourself, your life, and position you're in. So thank you for making the time. And it's always a pleasure to have you and your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Always love chatting with you, Natalia.
Thank you. I wish you a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Winter wellness is important to focus on during the cooler months. Winter is a time when our bodies start to crave comfort, whether it is with healthier, warming foods, or just rolling up covered in a warm blanket. Any motivation we had for summer can seem like a lifetime ago, and our health can often take a backseat. Shorter days, darker nights, and more time indoor can make us feel low. The lack of sunlight also means that many of us aren't getting the right amount of vitamin D, which can also contribute to low mood. It is recommended that we all consider taking a 10 microgram vitamin D supplement in autumn and winter. Being active and keeping in touch with friends and family can help improve your mood. Many people also find practicing mindfulness or meditation useful. Here are some 5 simple steps to mental well-being. Connect with others. Good relationships are important for your mental well-being. Be physically active. Being active is not only great for your physical health and fitness. Learn new skills. Give to others. And pay attention to present moment. Mindfulness. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. You always know that you can reach out to me on Instagram, Fitness with NK. If you have any questions or you would like me to talk about any particular subject, again, contact me. Follow me on Instagram, Fitness with NK, where you can find inspirational quotes, workouts, anything that will serve your body, soul, and mind. Make sure you visit my website, www.nataliakotowska.com, for free workouts, more information about me, my PTing, my trainings, and everything else you're looking for. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I will see you next time.